Well, I'll welcome you again to ABCs of Christian Growth. This is Brother Thurman with the talking about prayer again today. I want to welcome you and thank you for listening and sitting down on purpose to try to learn the Word of God and honoring the Lord and His Word. That means quite a bit to the Lord when you honor Him and devote time to know and to learn and to incorporate God's Word into your life and into your mind and into your thinking. Well, I hope you've been full of joy, and I hope that you are looking forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, because we don't have long. We know a bunch of preachers from our past that have said since I've been a boy that Jesus is coming, and some more than others. But brothers and sisters, the Lord Jesus said in the Word that in the Word of God that He said, "Look around you." He said, "Because the time's drawing nigh." He said, "Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh." It's getting close, and that was years ago. But you can look around you now and see the changes that are coming about and the things that are coming about, just like the Word of God tells us, that are coming into play. The United Nations getting ready, and everything's getting ready, and the Lord said He's going to put them all together and gather them all into one place, and so He can destroy them. And that's what the United Nations is doing now. They're getting themselves together, and everybody's coming together, and they're gonna pit against Jerusalem. And that's what a lot of people are doing now. And the country you live in now is just a smidgen away from we already got people up in the Congress and up in the State Department and everywhere up in there arguing about helping Jerusalem and not helping Israel and not helping Israel and arguing about that, and this nation's just right on the edge of going against Israel. And boy, and you can count on it, it's going to happen. And this nation's done got so wicked. And people don't care about morality and care about the things of God and what the Word of God says, and have kicked the Lord out of schools, kicked the prayer out of schools, kicked the Bible out of schools. You got two generations probably now, I would say at least, two generations that have no idea who God is or who Jesus Christ is. I was just talking to a little 12, 13-year-old boy, one of my neighbor's sons, and he had come over, and the kids would come to my door, and I would divvy them out candy for learning Bible verses. And he was one that would come over, and he would come over, and I'd be out of candy or something like that, and I said, "I have to get you some." He said, "That's all right. I'll do a Bible verse anyway." And I said, "Well, look at here," and got to talking with him. And then one day we were standing there, and the Holy Ghost led me to talk to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I went and got my Bible and started talking to him about it, and told him about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I asked him if he knew who Jesus Christ was, and you know what he told me? He said, "No, never heard his name before, ever." And but he could say Jehovah, the church. But he was a churchgoer. And he knew the name Jehovah, but he didn't know the name Jesus Christ. That's something. And that's a little 13, 14-year-old boy. We got a couple generations that have absolutely no idea who Jesus Christ is. I mean, society has moved and has molded itself into an anti-God scenario. And the situation in the United States right now is anti-God. It's anti-God. And it's hard to swallow, and it's hard to think of if you're a Christian that that could happen in the United States. But if you look back at all your history, now you listen to this, you look back at all your history, and you look back at any kind of civilization, and you check it out, what I'm telling you. You look back at any kind of civilization in history and see how it ended. any kind of Christian civilization or any kind of civilization that had God in it, that had Jesus Christ in it, or had God the Father himself, Jehovah God, in it, and look how that society, how that civilization ended. Every civilization since man was put on this earth has ended in apostasy. It's ended in apostasy. It's ended in everybody turning away and turning against what they used to believe in and what they used to honor and used to worship. Every one of them. And America's no different. We got over 200 years in now, and they've got the Bible and the name of God out of school and even in the law books now, that you can't say his name, and then your sodomites are up there fighting so that they're fighting today right this very minute more than they ever have in the history of the United States about getting out anti-Christian and anti-God. And if you don't, do a little background checking and see what's really going on. There's a couple bills up there that have already passed in the House and are going to the Senate. And if they pass there, you can count on some of the biggest persecution that's coming along for Christians. It's going to divvy out who's really a Christian, who's not a Christian, or who wants to be, who's on God's side and who's not on God's side, because it's called HR5, and there's another one up there that's going to give sodomites in the United States special rights. And transsexuals and all the perverted, any kind of perverted garbage that they're involved in, men being women, women being men, women with women, men with men, changing this, changing that, blah, 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 blah. All of those are going to, you're not going to be able to talk about them without going to jail or going to prison if this thing passes. This is all the things that's coming about. And don't take my word for it. Look it up yourself. Go look at all the bills look up HR5 and see what it describes up there, what they're fighting for. It's already passed in the House. Somebody, Nancy Pelosi or somebody up there, was fighting for them, and they got all kinds of money, and they've been fighting like crazy up in there. And guess what? Sodom is not that far out of sight anymore. That's right. So you better be figuring out what you believe get ready to stand for it, because it's coming. And that's what happens when you got a couple generations that don't love God anymore. And pretty soon they're probably going to get on this prayer thing and tell you that who you can talk to and who you can't talk to. They're already telling you what you can say and what you can't say. They've already arrested people and given them federal offenses for hate crimes against saying something that you believe. So it's no longer legal to have a different opinion other than what the corrupt majority says anymore. So that's apostasy, and that's where it's going, folks. And don't take my word for it. You check it out yourself. I already know about it. And I'm not trying to get you depressed or get you down, because we win. We win. But I was talking about the end times, and here it comes. It's not going to get here. It's here, and it's just a matter for it to unfold. And even so, come Lord Jesus, right? He's coming to get us. The trump's going to sound, and we're going to be blown out of here, sucked up out of here just as fast as the twinkling of an eye, the Bible says. And that's good. I don't want to be here anyway, do you? But while we're here, we need to communicate with our God. And you need to get busy doing that and get busy talking with the Lord and discipline yourself, because if you don't already know that the enemy fights prayer and fights your communication with your Heavenly Father, just like they're fighting up in the government to keep human beings from talking about God and mentioning God and all the things that are going up there. They're fighting in the government in worldly manners. There's a spiritual world out there that's doing battle. Not out there, but among us that's doing battle. And the enemy is doing all that he can to keep you from talking with your Lord and keep you from wanting to talk with your Lord, to keep you from reading his word and to keep you from wanting to read his word. And those are the two things that we have that we're able to be close to our Lord that we believe in and that we love. We love his ways, we love his word, and we love him. And the only way that we can stay close to him is through them two mediums, is through prayer and then through reading his word. And in civilizations like we talked about that have been in the past, you can read about the martyrs, you can read about the things that society has done to Christians and done, and every time that persecution has entered in to a God-fearing society, every time it's entered in, it's always attacked prayer, and it's always attacked the Word of God, the written Word of God. And persecution comes for the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus. So nothing to be scared of. The Bible says, I am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? Isaiah chapter 51, verse 12. We're not to be scared of it. Not to be scared of this stuff that's coming. It's just to be familiar with it and to know what God's Word says and to believe him and see it unfold in front of you, not to be scared of it. There's nothing to be scared of. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Paul said, "For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Is gain. Now, if you're so attached to this world that you can't separate the spiritual from the physical, from the fleshly, then you got some repenting and confessing to do and get yourself separated again and walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And you'll be able to understand and to be able to reason spiritually and to understand spiritual things again. But you need to get close to your Lord and stay that way. And you know that just as well as before I even said that. You already know that. You know that's God's will, is for you to stay close to your Lord and to fight for that and to show the Lord your allegiance and your devotion to him. He is worthy. He deserves it. And we are privileged to be able to do that. And quit looking at all the things that are in the world around you and thinking that they're prospering, because they're not. There's no prosperity in this world. Even if a man's got a bazillion dollars and looks like he's somebody, the Bible says every man at his best state is altogether vanity. He's vanity. And the things that are highly esteemed to men are an abomination to God, the Bible says. So get your thinking right. Get your thinking lined up with what the Bible says, what God's Word says, and you'll be right. And you'll be thinking along the lines of what the way that the Holy Ghost teaches you to think. We want to think like what God thinks like. And don't be scared of this world, and don't be scared of men, because they can't do anything to us. The only thing they can do is kill this body and put it back in the grave. If that's what they want to do, fine. But I'm not going to be here, and you won't either. We're going to be with the Lord. And they'd be doing us a favor. But woe unto them that think they're going to stand up to the Lord Jesus Christ and hold their fist up to him. A bunch of ignorant fools are going to do that. They're going to see him coming from heaven. These people are going to be so stupid and so out of their minds and deceived that they're going to see the Son of God in all his glory coming in heaven in the clouds with the bride along with him. That's us. And going to be coming in all his glory and coming coming to make war, the Bible says. He ain't coming to play war. He's coming to make it. Whether you want to fight or not, we're going to fight. That's Jesus Christ of the Bible. That's Jesus Christ. Now, you better get your thinking hat on and figure out who Jesus Christ really is. He ain't this sissified little blonde, effeminate-looking thing hanging on the cross, one little dot of blood on one hand, one little dot of blood on the other, and one little dot on his feet down there, and his hair combed out real pretty, looks like he just came from the barber shop or from the beauty salon. That ain't him. That ain't him. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is a man of war. The Bible describes him. So you better get your figuring about who Jesus Christ is, because he came as a lamb one time. He ain't coming that way next time. He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and he's coming to make war. And when he does, these idiots are going to stand down here and going to try to make war with him, and they ain't even going to realize that there's flying horses up there. And Jesus, people sitting on these flying horses, clothed in white, pure and clean, and coming and going to meet them down there and meet all the nations that the Lord has gathered together to destroy in Armageddon at the battle in the tribulation there that's going to happen. And they're going to gather together and they're going to try to hurt Israel, and the Lord's going to come and defend them. And they're going to recognize him as their Savior, and everything's going to go good from there. But the blood's going to flow, and that's your Jesus Christ. There's Jesus Christ. So you better, you know, we ain't got anything to be scared of. The Lord's going to defend us and take care of us. All we got to do is be devoted to him, and stay faithful to him. The Lord said, stay faithful to me till death, and I give you the crown of life. I think it was a crown of life that he said he was going to give. It was a crown of life, I believe it was. Right now, things are not that way. We still have liberty. We still have the right to stand up and to say the name of Jesus Christ and to read our Bibles and to study and to pray. And while you can, you ought to. You ought to. Talking about prayer. Last week, I don't know if it's last week with you or not, but just don't think about all them things I say like that. Things that will stop prayers from getting answered. That's what we talked about last recording. Remember, things that'll stop your prayers from getting answered. And we talked about pride, and we talked about the lack of compassion. We talked about failure to listen to God's word. You remember that? Double-mindedness, selfish motives, and unconfessed sin, and stubbornness, and all kinds of things. The poor relationships in your marriage. I hope you got them things patched up, and there ain't nothing in there no more. It only takes a second to take care of that thing. I mean, just a matter of just snapping your fingers and doing what's right, and that's how fast them grudges will be taken care of. Displeasing things to the Lord, and just the things like that. And we talked about all that. Well, this time we're going to talk about the things that that we can and we should pray for. Things that we can and we should pray for. In the Bible, in Romans chapter 10 and verse 1, I'll give you these scriptures at the end of our lesson today. But the Bible says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Now, we know who that was in the book of Romans. That's the Apostle Paul. And he's talking to the brethren. That's what he starts the sentence out with. He says, brethren, my heart's desire. This is Paul telling about what was on his heart. The Apostle Paul. This is the one that brought the New Testament gospel of the grace of God, not the gospel of the kingdom or anything like that. The gospel of the grace of God is what we're under in this dispensation, is being saved by grace, the gospel of the grace of God. Brethren, my heart's desire, and you know, he was the apostle to the Gentiles. That was us. It's because you want to thank anybody for the gospel getting to you, you thank the Apostle Paul. Because he's the one that started bringing it to the Gentiles. And the Lord had to bring it to us, and it got all the way to us, and you got saved because of it, because it trickled down to you. And praise the Lord for that. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer. Paul said he prayed for some things. And prayer to God is for Israel. And what did he say? Well, we're talking about things that we can pray for and we should pray for. Now, who was the Apostle Paul concerned about in his prayer? He just got through saying, brethren, my heart's desire. That's a concern. Your heart's desire is your concern. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is, so I got two questions about that verse. Who was the Apostle Paul concerned about? He was concerned about Israel, wasn't he? Because he was an Israelite. He was an Israelite. He said he was born of the stock of Benjamin, and that he was a Pharisee of Pharisees. I mean, he was a top dog in Israel and known and had reputation and everything till the Lord knocked him down and saved him. And then he become nothing according to the Jews and everything, but he came everything to the Gentiles. The Lord used him to bring the gospel of the grace of God to us, and you're saved because of him in a roundabout way, going down through history. God for Israel is, so Paul's concern about was for Israel, for his people. In another place, he said that he would even perish for them, that he would die and go to hell for Israel. That's quite a statement. That's quite a statement. You can get to where you love the Lord so much. I mean, you eventually do. If you're yielded to the Lord, your heart will get like the Lord's, and you'll be so compassionate and so concerned about people and their souls that that you could possibly say something like that. But that's quite a statement to say that you'd be willing to go to hell for eternity if Israel could be saved. Paul said that in another place, but he said in this place, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is. So who was the Apostle Paul concerned about? We're talking about things that we can and should pray for. He was concerned about Israel, and then he said that they might be saved. And what was his prayer for them? Just like what we said, that they might be saved. Paul's heart's desire for Israel was that they might be saved. Now, we just got through talking about America and that everything ends in apostasy. And you can see it coming and you can see it working in your city right this very minute. Wherever you live and whatever you're doing and wherever you work, you can see sin working. And you can see it getting worse, waxing worse and worse and worse. We're talking about being Americans and talking about to say that you're an American does not mean anything that much anymore because nobody knows what an American is anymore. There's so many different minorities and so many different people that have came into this country, and this country was established on immigration. But the thing of it was all of them came together in a united way as Americans. Now, you've got congresswomen up there that identify themselves as Muslim / American, not American Muslims, but Muslim Americans living in America, holding a high office in America in the Congress. So, see, things are changing. It's no longer America. It's minority America. And it's America, whoever wants to call it, whatever it is, other than what it was established under the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and what all those things. Now, I ain't going to get too deep into all that, but I hope you get the gist of what I'm talking about as far as your prayers. Our prayers ought to be that these people get saved. We don't need to be praying for this bill and that. And I mean, even though we should pray for our leaders, and the Bible says to pray for those that are in authority, and we do, and we should, like Paul did. He prayed for Israel. But to pray for America now, we should be praying for God's will to be done, and that God would be honored again, and that His word would be honored here, because that's the only thing that's going to help this country. The only thing that's going to help this country is that it turns around and honors the Lord and accepts God's word again, because God is mad at this country. Anytime anybody ever turns their nose up at God's word, God says, all right, that's what you want, that's what you get. And He sends out a plague. And you know what kind of plague it is? It's not a plague of food or a dearth. He sends out, it's not a lack of water. It's not a lack of food. But He starts, His word starts becoming strange. And the Lord says, you don't want my word? Okay, fine. I'll take my word from you. And the word starts disappearing. And the word starts disappearing. And you talk about something dangerous. And don't take nothing for sin to blow into it like a stinking atom bomb from where sin was once in the closet. And now it has blown up, and it's blown up like a stinking nuclear explosion in America. Why? Not because more sin has come. Sin's always been here. And the ability for sin and the opportunity for sin has always been in the country. The only thing that has been holding back the power of sin has been God the Holy Ghost and the written word of God and the fear of God. Now, people start rejecting the Lord, and the Lord takes the word away and says, okay, you don't want it, then I'm going to send out a plague. And it's going to be not a plague of water or a plague of food or lack of that or lack of this. It's going to be a lack of my word. You don't want it? Okay, well, then I'll start taking it away. And He has been. He let it come out of schools. Men don't want it in school no more. There it is, out of school. Look at your kids. Look what's happening to the generations that are happening. It's not because sin is showing up. Sin's always been here. It's because the Word of God that's been preventing it and keeping it in check is leaving. You better believe that, because that's the truth. But you still have God's Word, and you still have the ability to pray. And you want to talk about something, well, I just don't have that much to pray for. You got plenty of things to pray for, brother and sister. You got lots of things you could pray for and be concerned about, and all you have to do is believe it and get out on your face and start talking to God about it, and just tell Him what you want. Say, Lord, this country is wicked. They're doing this, and 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 this is going on, this is going on, this is going on, and Lord, I'm on your side, and I'm for you, and I'm for the Word of God, and I'm for righteousness, and I'm for right, not wrong, and I know the difference in right and wrong, but America don't know it anymore. Would you please help our people? Paul said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. How long has it been? And I'm not challenging your prayer. I'm sure your prayer is just as good as anybody else's prayer. But how long has it been since you prayed for America to be saved? To be saved. All it takes is for a man to be born again, and he has the ability to think like God, and God the Holy Ghost is in him, goes everywhere he goes. Vice President Pence up there admitted while he was having that vice before they got elected, he was having that vice presidency debate, and they asked him a question, both of them a question about their religious background, and he admitted that in college he received Jesus Christ as his Savior. If that's the truth, then he has God the Holy Ghost dwelling in him, and right up there in the White House, second to the president. And he has the ability to hear what God has to tell him because he's right there dwelling in him. We should be praying for him that he would listen to the Lord and that he would move and make decisions fearing God. You see? And I'm sure there's many more up in there in that place of power that have God the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, and they fear God. But there's so many devils and so much power in high places up there. That's a battle. That's a fight, man. And we need to be praying that the Lord would give them, would honor them and give them, and as they honor the Lord and the decisions that they make, there ain't no hard decisions to make. We have the instructions. They just need the prayer behind them. Paul prayed for Israel that they might be saved. Well, then we're talking about things that we can and should pray for. One of the things is, brothers and sisters, is that we ought to be praying for our leaders. We ought to be praying for the ones that make the rules and make the laws and the things in this country. And whether or not it changes or whether it don't change, we need to be taking it before our Lord. And He hears us, so we take it before the Lord and tell Him, Lord, we don't want this country. We don't want these people ruling over us. We want You ruling over us. And that's what the Lord wants to hear. When He hears that coming from His children down here praying, then He makes some changes. It ain't in the voting booths where all this stuff happens. It's in the hearts of the people. And coming from the Word of God and minding God the Holy Ghost and living for Him and fearing God. We're not having a political talk here. Well, we're still on prayer, but let's move on. So we see at Romans 10:1 that one thing that we can pray for is for our country and for our people and for our leaders. And 1 Timothy 2:1-4, the Bible says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. We don't care who comes in this country as long as they fear our God and they want to come unto the knowledge of the truth. And the Bible says for us to pray. Now, what are we talking about? We're talking about prayer, and we're talking about what we can and should pray for. There's three things that was said in that verse that I just read in 1 Timothy there concerning things that we can pray for. And there was three groups of people that the Scriptures say that we should pray for there. Listen to it again. And let's listen to it again. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications. A supplication is a prayer, but it's a more intense, I don't know how to describe it. It's more of an intense, more like a begging the Lord. Supplications, prayers, intercessions. Now, intercessions, you know what that is. That's interceding for somebody. You're not praying for yourself. You're praying for somebody else on their behalf. That's supplications, prayers, and intercessions. And giving of thanks. The Lord said in His Word, anytime we come to Him in prayer, that we be sure that we be thanking the Lord for things also, that we're in the right attitude of prayer. Giving of thanks be made for all men. That's one. And then another one, for kings. We just got through talking about that. We don't have kings. We don't live under a monarchy. But we do live under a presidency. And that's our leaders. And we should pray for our president, especially if we know that they've been born again and they said that on public TV. Do you know how hard it would be to say something like that, or to say something like that when you're running for vice president or running in the office with the president like that, and to say something publicly like that? He couldn't have been ashamed of it, but he said the Lord's name, and he said he accepted Him as his Savior. The Bible says, for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. All right, so there's three of them right there. What three groups did you hear? It's for all men. There's something you can pray for. You say, well, all men. pray for anybody and everybody that we can think of as far as that. I mean, just don't get silly about it and mechanical about our prayer. We're talking about all men that the Lord lays on your heart and the people that the Lord puts on your heart to pray for, that you see a need and you see some reason to talk to your Heavenly Father and you have the privilege to be able to talk to Him. And does that person need some prayer? Yeah. Take it to them, man. Take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord for them. There's people in your neighborhood that you know that have problems, all men. There's people in your family. There's people in your workplace. There's people in your church. There's people. And you see a need, take it to the Lord, man, for all men. And for kings, we talked about that. Well, to pray for the authorities, the people that have the ability and the power that's been given to them and the seat of power where they can change things back to righteousness. For kings and for all that are in authority. Why? That we may lead a quiet. Is it quiet in America? Are you kidding me, man? It's like the bombing of Germany over there that the British went over and bombed, and there's so much garbage going on, so much noise in America now. The Bible says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life. Are those two things what America's made of now? Quiet and peaceable? When I was a boy, 13, 14 years old, I lived in Alabama and I grew up there. And just the neighborhood is nothing like a neighborhood now in this present age. That was 30 years ago, 40 years ago, and it's absolutely nothing like it was whenever I was a boy. We could go anywhere, anytime, any place, anywhere we wanted to, and didn't think about any dangerous things or anything that wasn't people. Things were quiet, and things were peaceable. It says that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Are things quiet and peaceable? Is your life quiet and peaceable now? Or do you have to fight for quiet and peaceable now? Are things godly and honest in society now that you live in now, godly and honestly? What a stinking joke, man. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. The Bible says if you want a quiet and peaceable life and godliness and honesty, then pray for all men, pray for kings, and pray for all that are in authority. Things that we can and should pray for. Why? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. The Bible says when you pray for all men that you see a necessity to pray for, and you pray for your leaders, your kings, and when you pray for them that are in authority, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And you ain't got nothing to pray for in America? Are you kidding me? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's what God's interested in. He could care less about the UN. He could care less about who's got the rice and who's got the beans. God could care less. The Lord's interested in people getting saved because His Son died for them. And He's interested in His Son getting the throne in Jerusalem like He deserves and He paid for and He bought and that the Father promised the Jews. And that's what the Father's concerned about. Who will have all men to be saved. And as far as this save the earth and save the whales and save the porpoises and blabbity, blabbity, blab and all that stuff that's going, God's going to burn it all. He's going to burn every bit of it. And if you're here, you're going to burn with it. What's the idea? Who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth? God wants people to have the truth. He wants people to live in truth. He wants people to tell the truth. He wants people to pray about the truth. Not for a new car, not for luxuries, not for the baseball team to win, not for who's going to the Super Bowl. The things that are highly esteemed among men are an abomination to God. Things that we can and should pray for. We should pray for our country, pray for kings. We should pray for all men that the Lord gives us, puts in our heart to pray for, and we see a need for prayer. Look, you have the privilege to go to the throne if you're born again. And if you see somebody that needs help from God, why ain't you talking to God about them? And I'm talking to myself, too. We say we ain't got nothing to pray for. Say we ain't got nothing. I mean, if you just got down there and thought about some things when you're getting down to talk to the Lord, and you just start thinking about things like we've been talking about for the past 40 minutes, and you just start thinking about them things, you have plenty to talk to the Lord about. Prayer ain't mechanical, man. It ain't like just my father beats your father at dominoes. That ain't prayer. Ain't got nothing to do with prayer. Farthest thing from the world about prayer. That ain't prayer. Prayer is supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks being made for all men and for kings and for all that are in authority. Why? So we can live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. See, that's one thing about the country. It don't want to live in godliness and honesty. Can you tell? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What's good and acceptable? That people are praying in such a way that they want to live a life of peace and quiet and want to live in godliness and honesty. Let me ask you a question. Do you think when God looks down at America right now that He sees a people that want to live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty? Is that what the Lord sees? There are some of us here, but is that what the Lord sees? Well, if He doesn't see it, do you think He's hearing the prayers and concerns about the people that are living among it, like us? He should be. When things start getting bad, the prayers ought to be going, Lord, these people are nuts, man. The Sodomites are taking over the government. We got things to pray for. We got good things to pray for. It says a quiet and peaceable life. That's what the Lord's rooting for. He wants us to have a quiet and peaceable life. He says, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. God wants us. I mean, when He started out and made man, He put him in a garden, a perfect garden, in a perfect situation. That was God's mind. And then He tells us about what's going to be in the future and prophesies. And tells us that it's going to be again like that, but it's going to be like that for eternity from now on. He said it ain't going to happen again. And I'm glad of it, ain't you? Let's move on. What's the Lord want for us to pray for in Matthew chapter 9? Well, let's read Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Then said He unto His disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers unto His harvest. We know what that's talking about, and the Lord's talking about. He's talking about people being saved. But He's talking particularly about laborers, people going out in the harvest and either planting the seeds or watering the seeds or either reaping, leading them to the Lord, bringing them into the family of God. I mean, there's plenty to do in that situation. You plant seeds of the gospel, of the grace of God, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can pass out tracts. That's planting seeds. You could just be a Christian, a real Christian, of what a real Bible-believing Christian that's unashamed of his Lord and unashamed of the Word of God, and just live a life of Christianity and a sacrificial life of Christianity, and your lights will shine in this dark world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's one thing that Jesus said we're supposed to be doing. If you're saved, you're supposed to be shining. But what can we pray for? What's the Lord say we pray for there? We pray for laborers. Lord, send somebody here. Send somebody there. Look at this, Lord. These people need the Lord. Send somebody there. Send somebody there. Send somebody that you can use that'll do the work there. I mean, praying for laborers. Because the Lord said that the harvest is ready. It's ready to reap. And it is. He said, He said unto the disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous. There's lots of things that need to be done, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. You could labor right in your neighborhood. You could labor with your neighbors. You can labor with your family. I mean, labor is work. But when you're tied up in this world, the Bible says you cannot drink of the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and the table of devils. If you're tied up and tied down in this world and the things of this world and the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, and it's got you tied down to where you cannot do anything for the Lord, then you can't labor for the Lord. You can't do both of them. They do not go together. They will not function together. You cannot be a Christian and do the work of God and the labor of God and be worldly and do the labor of the world. You can't. They don't go together. It's not going to work ever. Ever. So we know what we need to do about that. But we're talking about things that you can pray for and things that you should pray for. Pray for authorities. Pray for our country. Pray for our leaders. Pray for kings. Pray for supplication prayers and intercessions for kings and for all men and for people in authority. And the Lord said for the harvest and for laborers, for souls. For souls. Somebody prayed for you. If you're born again, somebody prayed for a laborer to find you. And they did, didn't they? Another one. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. And I want to remind you that we're reading God's Word. We're not saying what we think ought to be done. We're reading about what the Bible says. Ephesians chapter 6 says, praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul said, pray for the preachers, that they have the courage and the sacrifice in their life that God called them to, that it would remain in them and they would courageously stand for the Lord and say the right things in the pulpit that need to be said for the flock, and that they could speak boldly. Paul said that I could speak boldly and open my mouth to speak boldly. Well, why does he even say that? Because the devil was tempting him to keep his mouth shut and not say anything, just like he does today. And praying always, prayer and supplications in the Spirit, perseverance and supplication for all saints. We ought to pray for one another. The Bible says pray for all men, but especially the household of faith. We should pray for each other. You know what should be very important to you? It is the family of God, the church, the body of Christ. I ain't talking about all religions. I'm talking about the body of Christ, the saved, the born again, the bride. That should be very important to you. And it should be completely different than anything you think about anywhere else and anything about anything else in the world. The most important people in your life ought to be the bride of Christ. It says first to pray for them. Pray for all saints. And then Paul said, pray for me. And he was talking particularly about him speaking and showing the mystery of the gospel. And spiritually, we can say that can help us to understand about what we should pray for, our spiritual leaders, that they would open their mouth boldly, because they're constantly pressured by the enemy, pressured by the wolves in the church, by anything and everything to just not speak the word of God like God the Holy Ghost instructs them to speak, because God the Holy Ghost knows what the church is like and what it needs. And he instructs the pastor from the word of God to what to speak from the word of God to the flock. And the enemy is all over him about calming it down and not offending anybody. Let me tell you something. A preacher, if he's a real preacher, he doesn't go with the intentions of offending anybody at all. No preacher that's in his right walk would ever want to offend anybody. It's not in his heart. But when God the Holy Ghost is speaking from his mouth and from his heart, he's not speaking in any kind of attitude that he wants to, any kind of malice that he wants to intentionally make somebody mad. He's speaking in such a manner that he wants to make somebody turn. Because God the Holy Ghost is seeing a problem, and he's instructing him to preach on that and tell the truth about it and open up some wounds so that some repentance can come, which is the goodness of God, by the way. So some repentance can come. And what is repentance? Turning. Stop thinking one way and think another. But that's another thing you can pray for. Moving right along. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18, what should we pray for those who serve the Lord in the gospel ministry? For boldness. For boldness and perseverance. That they'll stick to it. If you got a preacher, you're privileged. And especially if you got a preacher that'll tell you the truth, no matter who you are, no matter what you are, no matter what you're worth. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44 says, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, that's a doozy right there, ain't it? But you want to talk about how powerful your prayer is and whether your prayer is coming from your heart or not? We're talking about things that we can pray for and should pray for. Well, the Bible instructs us that we ought to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, to pray for them. That's what it says. He didn't say in parentheses it was going to be easy, but he said do it. And you know, if you've ever done it and you ever, it make you feel like a hypocrite because you know in your heart, you think one way and you pray in another. But after you begin praying in the Holy Ghost and you discipline yourself to do what God says, your heart will start changing and you'll start caring about them people with Christ's love. That's how powerful God is. That's how wonderful He is. He changes us in the meantime while we're praying for somebody else that needs changing. Isn't that tremendous? Only God could do that. Man can't figure that out. All biggest computers in the world, he can't figure that out. Only God could do that. But well, to pray for those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And if you don't have any, come on over, I'll lend you some. If you're a Christian and you're walking the way you're supposed to be walking, you don't have to look for people to persecute you, and you don't have to look for people to despitefully use you and stuff like that. They'll come. But the Lord says pray for them. Talking about things that we can and should pray for. And if you don't have anybody persecuting you or despitefully using you, praise the Lord. And that don't mean that you're not walking with the Lord because you don't have any of that going on. But it says if you have something like that going on, to pray for them. And we're talking about praying for what we should pray for. We're talking about prayer. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23, the Bible says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. But I will teach you the good and right way." The Bible says that failure to pray for others is what? Well, this is 1 Samuel. And the Bible says, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you." So in some instances, the Bible says that if you're supposed to be praying for somebody and God the Holy Ghost is giving you instructions to pray for somebody and you do not pray for them, what's the Bible say that it is? Well, it's sin. Why? Because you're being disobedient. And you're being where you're not thoughtful at all, not charitable, not kind, and not compassionate. Because you have the privilege and the ability to go to the Creator with a problem for somebody on somebody else's behalf, and you won't. And let me stop right there and raise my hand. Guilty? But we shouldn't be guilty of that. Things that we can and should pray for. We can pray for anybody about anything to the Creator. And we should. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." According to that scripture, what can we pray for? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Ask what of God? Ask for wisdom. That giveth to all men liberally. Do you ever wonder if God gives you what you pray for? Well, you can look at that verse right there and get your answer. And giveth to how many men? All men. Liberally. God doles it out liberally. And upbraideth not. He don't make fun of you or upbraid you or embarrass you or make a fool out of you for asking about anything unless it's foolish. And it shall be given him. We can ask for wisdom. Isn't that beautiful? I tell you what. That's probably one of the top prayers that I have as far as a request is wisdom. Some need it more than others, you know. But listen, you know what we're going to do? We're going to stop right there because this is not the end of this part, what we can pray for and what we can't pray for. Things that we can and should pray for. We're going to stop right there because this is a kind of a just a different category that we're starting to go in the same part of prayer, things that we can and should pray for. So I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to stop it because we don't have enough time to finish it unless we go a lot longer. So we're going to make that other part. We'll just split it up right there. So we're going to stop right there. Let's recap a little bit. What have we talked about? Things that we can and should pray for. Romans chapter 10 said that we can pray for who? Pray for our country. Pray for the people in our country, the leaders in our country. Pray for all that are in authority, the Bible says. And also, there were three groups that we prayed for, if you remember. They were found in Timothy. And we talked about supplications and prayers and intercessions be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority. We should pray for that, brothers and sisters. The Bible says that we can pray for the harvest and pray for laborers to go out into this harvest. What should we be concerned about? Eternal things. Set your affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That's what the Bible says. Set your affections, the things that affect you, your affections, the things that your heart cares about, the things that are important to you, your affections, the things that you are affectionate about, on things above, not on things of the earth. Pray always, prayer and supplication in the Spirit. For preachers, that they can pray, that they can speak the word of God boldly. We should pray for all saints, remember? Perseverance and supplication for all saints. Pray for them. Pray for the body of Christ. Pray for Christians. The Bible says for us to pray for those that it says, but love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Not go down to church house and start spreading rumors and tell everybody about what his name done, and blabbity 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 blab, and start a two-faced book on it. It says to pray for them. Pray for them. Well, you know, if God told us to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us, why would he do that if he wasn't going with the intention of doing something about it and answering our prayers? He will. And he'll do the right thing. You know, when you start praying for people, and you have to be careful how you pray for people, pray for your enemies, and pray for people that despitefully use you and persecute you. And the Lord's taught me that. In one instance, I prayed for somebody that done something really bad to me, and I prayed for them. And when I found out what the Lord did to them by answering my prayer, I learned that I have to be careful because God is a jealous God. And it says that the Lord takes pleasure in recompensing them that trouble you. In other words, when you ask the Lord to pay them back, the Lord takes pleasure in paying back your enemies. And when the Lord pays them back, you'll feel sorry for them. And you say, Lord, I didn't mean that. And pretty soon you start thinking that way, and you be careful how you pray for them. Yeah. And then the Bible says for us to pray for them that despitefully use us and persecute us, right there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And then God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and right way. Amen. So we'll stop right there. I want to give you these scriptures. Are you ready? Not very many today, but nevertheless, God's Word, and that's all we've been talking about is what saith the Lord, and that's beautiful, isn't it? That's what, that man, it just makes the truth and Bible study just so much more truth, and you get quiet and peaceable life and godliness and honesty. Things that we can and should pray for. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 through 4. Matthew chapter 9, verse 37 and 38. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. And 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. Those are the scriptures that we've used so far in this part of our study of prayer on things that we can and should pray for. Our next lesson, we will continue on this things that we can pray for and should pray for. And we'll talk about some scriptures, and we'll just talk about what the scriptures say that we can pray for in about, 9 or 10 different places. We're going to begin next recording and talk about 9 or 10 different scriptures and what the scriptures actually say that we can pray, things that we can pray for ourselves in their proper places. Okay? That'd be interesting to know, wouldn't it? What can I pray for? What can I ask for myself? The scriptures say so. And we'll look at it in the next recording, okay? Thank you so much for honoring the Lord and honoring our Lord. And pray for the body of Christ. Pray for our brothers and sisters. And don't be offended by this prayer. Don't get scared about it. The enemy's probably just been racking your mind about this and even trying to stop you from listening to these because of this. And the things in this ABCs of Christian growth, that's something that the enemy does not want you to know. I told you that way back in the beginning, and he's going to fight you to do this. And you have to sit down, and you know what I'm talking about if you're listening to this. You had to make yourself sit down, didn't you? And but you never regret it when it's over with, do you? Right. So that's how it is, and that's just how it is. And that's spiritual warfare. And you should know that by now. So just know it and expect attack. Expect that the enemy is going to attack you when you try to do something spiritual. Now, if you wanted to go down to the mall and go shopping, you wouldn't have no conviction over that, would you? You wouldn't have no fights in your mind or in your heart about that. No right and wrong fights about that, would you? No. Because there's nothing spiritual about that. Ain't got nothing to do with eternity and the souls of men and prayer and talking to God. Nothing. So just know it, expect it, and push through it. And sit down and listen to these, listen as we study together and learn the Word of God, okay? And learn what God says about things. What He says, not what we think He says, what He says, okay? So the Lord bless you, and I appreciate you so much. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I thank you so much. Go give your wife a kiss or your husband a kiss and tell them you love them. And give your kids a kiss and tell them that you love and appreciate them. And all of you pray together, okay? The Lord be kind to you and bless you. Bye-bye.